time here on RNIB Connect Radio to hear how a Grade 2 star listed church in Upton Magna, Shropshire, which was in danger of closure, has now been fully restored, and as well as being a hub for community, is now accessible to blind and partially sighted people through collaborative work with the RNIB on large print and braille guides. I am delighted to say that I'm now joined by Sue Woods, church warden at St Lucia's Church, who was the main person behind the lottery-funded restoration project and worked closely with Michelle Lee here at the RNIB on the large print and braille guides. Hello, Sue, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, Toby. It's lovely to be on it.
Sue, what sort of state was St Lucia's Church in at the time of putting in the bid for the lottery funding to sort of restore the church?
Well, it was on the Heritage England at-risk register, and it was very near to closing. Part of the roof was falling in. We had no water. We had no heating. All the drainage outside needed replacing. And because St Lucia's was at the centre of a conservation village in Shropshire, it was something that we really, really wanted to restore and put back for the community and the village. So yes, it was in a pretty bad state.
And obviously, Sue, you got in touch with the RNIB, and for those who may not know, St Lucia is the patron saint of sight, so an obvious connection there.
Yes, it was a connection actually that was first thought of by the Archdeacon, Paul Thomas. And I said, well, I just need an idea. And he said, well, there's your idea, St Lucia, the RNIB. And it was interesting because when I rang, the lady who I spoke to said, oh, we'll have a meeting about it. And she came back to me quite quickly and said, we're on board. We didn't realise that at the time.
And did that sort of connection with the RNIB help with your lottery funding bid, do you think?
Oh, yes, definitely, because it was so unique, really, because there were only two St Lucia's churches in the country, one here in Upton Magna and one in Dimbleby in, I think it's Northamptonshire way. And very sadly, after COVID, that one did actually close. And every year on St Lucia's Day, which is December the 13th, we would message, the two churches would message each other. So we can't do that now.
And obviously you worked with Michelle here at the RNIB on the large print and braille guides. Would you be able to give me a sort of rough outline of what is covered in the large print and braille guides?
Well, the large print and braille guides, which I have in front of me, it's 28 pages actually. And we started with the story of St Lucia's, at St Lucia herself, who was a martyr from Sicily in 304 BC. And she did wonderful plans of the church, plans of the ground. We were doing a timeline. And then she did a church tour and she took it right from outside the door and took the people through it. And she says herself in this that it was a perfect example of providing people with visual impairment through a journey through the church. And I think she summed it up very well then. But all this happened during COVID. So Michelle never came here. I think she probably would have done. And she was working from home and I was working from home. And we just got together on the internet and on the phone. And, you know, it was just such a wonderful idea. She was so helpful.
And as well as the guides, I think during the restoration, you found some sort of war paintings and things like that, which hadn't been discovered for years. And are they included in the guide as well?
They are. The war paintings, we believe, are Victorian because the church was restored in the late 19th century by G. Street, the architect. And he did a lot of pulling down of things. So we knew that there was just one left of John the Baptist baptising Jesus as you come in through the door. And it's a very beautiful one. But we didn't know about the others. But the damp during the time that it was, you know, in disrepair, the damp was bringing the others through. And so we very luckily got a grant for somebody to come and look at it. And he said that it could be restored as well as it could. And Michelle has done in this book in Braille the most beautiful, beautiful. We have some what are called roundels, which are very colourful, and she's explained it. And of course, I was having to go up to church and take photographs, sending them to her. I'd say, no, on the photograph, that looks pink, but it's actually a much deeper red and things like that. But the roundels in particular look so lovely in the Braille. And then later, we had another grant from various grant committees like William Morris and the Cadbury's Trust and other very kind people that we didn't know about the wall paintings. And we had the finest conservationists apparently in England, and they came for a month at a time. They came three times. But a lot of damage had been done to the wall paintings because in 1953 they wanted to paint the church and they didn't want to go around the wall paintings, so they whitewashed over them.
So it's nice to have them now sort of on view, and also to have them accessible to blind or partially sighted people through both the large print and the Braille guides.
Yes, it is. And it certainly is something that attracts a lot of other visitors to church as well. And these people came for 4 months, not all together, months at a time, also through COVID, but they were quite happy to be locked in a cold church.
And I believe there's also a sensory garden outside the church, which also has a Braille plaque, which was, I believe, designed by a young artist in the village. And they had input and help from a visually impaired village member too.
Yes, we had a young lady who just finished her university in design and that sort of thing. And she offered to help with the sensory garden, because obviously during COVID it was more difficult. And the school children had had a big input at St Lucia's School. And then Michelle and I got together and she sent examples of other Braille sensory gardens with the plaques on. And we got together and she talked about the right colour and the right contrast. So we chose a very dark green. So in the sensory garden is our memorial plaque from the two world wars. And that's also been photographed for the war memorial, because there is one war memorial in the churchyard, and they've had a photograph of it as well. And so last year, when it was finished, completed, the leavers from St Lucia's School came and had their final leavers picture taken in the sensory garden with the Braille plaque. And the Braille plaque was mounted on a very nice frame, which was made by the young lady, Holly Doran, and somebody called Graham Lowe, who sadly had lost an eye as a young man and now was virtually completely blind. But together they welded it together, and his name is on it in the sensory garden. So that was really involving the visually impaired.
And that's nice to have that, and also have the sensory garden there so that the young people from the school can experience what sort of smells and how things can be made more accessible through sense and touch.
Yes, it's interesting because we also get a lot of people with little ones, babies in prams, because we've got these lovely bell chimes, wind chimes as well, that really attract the little ones. And we have to have a gate that shuts automatically because the rabbits like the sensory garden. So, yes, it is used. You often see people sitting in there if they've lost a loved one, and it's a place of tranquility, and you look up at the church.
And I suppose now that the church has been restored and fully reopened, that it's become very much part of the community and also maybe bringing the community together too.
It is. It definitely is. We're on the Shropshire Tourism Booklet. We get a lot of people from that. We've got an archaeological society wanting to come in September. And we do ride and stride, so lots of people come on the bikes. And we've also got now, because the church has been restored and we've got heating, we've got lots more going on. It's used for coffee mornings, and because we didn't have a toilet or even water in before. And we have a new curate who's just started to do quite a lot with children. So it's used for something called Lucy's Lambs every Friday morning, which is for 0 to 3 year olds, praise and play once a month. And the other church warden, Lynn Carding, takes a dementia group once a month for people with dementia and people in the village who are still lonely and still reticent to come out after COVID. And they sing whatever songs they want in church, have a cup of tea and a piece of cake. So we're trying to get the whole of the spectrum from the very young to the retired. There's a youth cafe, and they even used church at Christmas between school ending and Christmas Day for a group for youngsters in the village to do activities, which is lovely. And now, because the acoustics are done, we have concerts. In fact, this Saturday, we're jumping people's teddy bears off the church tower on their parachutes, which is quite good for a 15th century tower.
So a bit of a fundraiser, perhaps.
It certainly is. We're appealing to everybody. We had the rock choir 2 weeks ago. We've got this. So there's always something that we're trying to think about to share the church, but also to raise money, because it just cost nearly £10,000 a year to keep a church open.
Sue, I believe, as well as the large print and braille guides, that you are thinking of having what might be described as an interactive media point, a monitor with video and audio, to also tell the story of St Lucia's Church.
That's right. This is our very last part of one of the activities that we did, which got us the grant from the Heritage Lottery. And it's been quite complex to start off with, but we've now got a large monitor with a video and everything there. And it's going to be touch screen. And the idea is that anybody, but particularly the visually impaired, and we hope for the deaf as well, with the words underneath.
Subtitles.
That's right. It's the last thing. So we're hoping to tell the St Lucia story. We're hoping that the children from St Lucia's school will sing the St Lucia song. And then there will be a tour round the church, which is being filmed. In fact, the cameraman is even going up into the bell tower to film the bells as well. And we've got a very narrow winding staircase up to the top of the tower. So he's going to have to take a special camera. And we're hoping that it'll all be completed by the end of this year. And then we can perhaps put it on the website as well. It's very much in its early stages, and it's the very last thing to do. But I'm sure it will be quite appealing to lots of people.
So if listeners would like to find out more about St Lucia's Church and maybe come and visit too, is there a website that they can go to for more information, or maybe an email address that they could write to?
Yes, well, we haven't got our own website because we're part of a benefice, but they can go on to the Hormond and Wrekin website, which are two hills that are up to Magnus between. There are well over 15 churches that one rural dean looks after. So it's the Hormond and Wrekin website. Or if they want to get in touch with me, which is pr.sewoods@yahoo.co.uk. I'm very happy to arrange a trip. We can do coffee and tea for people who want to come on a tour. And we realise, obviously, that we've now had to look more into the disabled part and the visually impaired and the people even with pushchairs. So our last venture was to put a very long but very nice disabled path from both entrances to church. So there are no steps now, which makes it really good for the disabled people.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Sue, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about access for blind and partially sighted people at the wonderful and amazing St Lucia's Church.
Well, thank you for having us, and it's been a privilege working with you.